today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
I believe strongly that words create connections with people. Photos can do that too. But I think that words have a really strong ability to lead the mind in a specific direction. I see things as a photographer that no one else at the wedding sees, or the couple themselves doesn't even really absorb what happened in the moment. It might be the way that someone else was looking at them, or the moment that they started crying, and I can connect the dots that, like, this person has an emotional connection to this moment. And if you just put that picture up of that person crying, like, okay, it's a person crying, like, they're obviously reacting to something. But if I can tell why, and I can make that connection that tells a story about the relationship that these two people have, it becomes so much more powerful.
Hey guys, Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today is a special one. We are talking all about SEO and how you can get to the front page of Google.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to interviewing world-class photographers to ask them the questions you want answered. Whether you want to be the world's best wedding photographer, family photographer, pet photographer, or you just want to take better photos of your kids growing up, we will get you to start taking better photos today. Here with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodgers fan, and award-winning Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
What is up, guys? Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today is an incredible episode that I've been looking forward to for a while. Over the past few months, I've been getting countless emails from you, the listeners, wondering, what is SEO exactly, and how do you even use it in your photography? How does it work with a website? Is it a plugin? Is it what is it? People have this idea that it's this magical thing that, you know, you press install and it automatically takes you to the front page of Google. No ifs, ands, or buts. And for those of you who feel that way, I have very sour news for you. It does not work like that. We're just going to hop straight into today's episode. It's long. It is a long episode today. And I have to warn you, it may get a bit technical. So just a preface, I've gotten a lot of emails from you photographers asking about SEO. So in the past few weeks, I have become very good friends with an SEO expert. This guy knows SEO, and what I love about him is that he's passionate about it. Like, he truly is passionate about it. And what's crazy is that he has shot like 200 weddings. He was a wedding photographer. He still does wedding photography, but that's not his primary focus anymore. Like, he was where a lot of you want to be, right? And he essentially is like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to focus more on the SEO and helping other photographers understand how search engines work. And what's great is that it's geared towards photographers. All of his information geared towards photographers. So today we're talking with Corey Potter. And before you listen to this interview, I would highly recommend that you go check out fuelyourphotos.com. It is all about marketing and SEO just for photographers. There's so much great information that you're going to be able to take right away. So let's go ahead and get into this interview with Corey Potter. Today's guest runs the popular website and Facebook group Fuel Your Photos. He's a successful wedding photographer himself, and the website is focused on tackling the tricky worlds of both marketing and SEO, specifically for photographers. So today, let's welcome Corey Potter. Corey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am very good today. Thank you so much for coming on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
Dude, I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I think this is a good one. I've gotten so many questions from fellow beginner photographers who have kind of maybe gotten to that level where they're good with their camera, they understand how it works, and they know that they need to get a website. They get a website up, and then all of a sudden it's like, why aren't inquiries coming in and why aren't I in Google? And they just don't understand how all of this works. So can you give us a little introduction on who you are and then kind of segue that into what SEO is, as if you were describing it to a five-year-old?
Okay, that sounds good. So I started doing wedding photography about 8 or 9 years ago whenever my wife and I got engaged, and she told me that we needed to find an engagement photographer, and I was like, that sounds crazy. And anyway, long story short, I ended up falling in love with photography and kind of getting started really quickly. And before that, I was doing websites and SEO for local small businesses in my city. It's kind of a thing I started doing in high school, and then just kind of through college, it was a side job to try to pay for college. And it was fairly successful, and I was getting good results for people. And so whenever I started the photography business right after that, I used some of those things that I learned to really grow the photography business pretty quickly. We went from 9 weddings in the first year to 27 weddings the next year. And most of that had to do with search engine optimization. And so it was really a big deal for me. And as we grew the business, we've done over 200 weddings, and we've really started to scale back because now we have 3 kids, and Ashley wanted to stay home with the kids. And so we've started doing a lot less weddings, and I decided, hey, why don't I start working with photographers, because I really love websites and SEO. And so that's how I started back doing Fuel Your Photos. So to talk about SEO to a five-year-old, I'm going to think about a four-year-old, actually, because I have a four-year-old daughter. So thinking about if I were telling her what SEO is all about, probably I would talk to her by telling her about Siri, because she actually uses Siri, but she calls Siri Sarah. So so I'd probably try to use that, because I think that kind of helps. So what I would probably say is something like, whenever you ask Sarah a question, she has to go and look at all the things that people have written all across the internet to try to find an answer for you. And to do that, she has to search through millions. She probably doesn't know what millions is because she's 4. Lots and lots and lots of different things that people have written on the internet, and look for clues that tell her that she has the right answer for you. And so she's looking for anything that answers that direct question that you asked, so that she can bring it back and tell you a confident answer. I think it would be really hard for a five-year-old to understand SEO, really. But
I think that SEO would be a very hard concept for a five-year-old. But I think that the way that you described it made sense with me, because I understand what SEO is, and I understand how they relate right there. But I think, can you break it down even a little bit more? First, I guess we haven't even said exactly what SEO stands for. And
right,
what
so that's a good point. So all that I was talking about is more about like how search engines might actually find an answer. But SEO stands for search engine optimization. So SEO is actually optimizing for that answer. So whenever you are writing something, you're one of those millions of people who wrote something on the internet. You need to write it in a way that Sarah can understand. Siri, not Siri.
Right.
And so when you write it, you need to be making sure that you are giving the clues that Siri, Google, is looking for, so that it can be confident that it's giving the right answer to that person who is searching. And so it's really all about optimizing your site to abide by the rules that machines are using whenever they are scouring the internet.
I think that broke it down much easier to understand, just describing what it was. But just to be clear, it's not, SEO isn't some sort of plugin. It's not some sort of program that you use. It's not a service that you sign up for. You don't have to pay for it. It's simply the way that you write information on your website. Is that right?
That's one part of it, but it's not just about writing. So actually, I was telling you earlier, there's one thing that I've been wanting to talk to people about for a while, and it kind of explains why specifically I got back into helping with search engine optimization and not just marketing and websites. I do all of that stuff too, but what really intrigues me about search engines, is it okay if I tell you this story?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Okay. So basically I decided I was going to try to write a directory of photographers that sorted photographers by who was best, right? And so, you know, it'd be like any of the directories that are out there that has, you know, hundreds of photographers listed. If you're looking for a photographer, you go look in your city and you find the list of the best photographers. Pretty much what Google's doing. But I wanted to write one just for fun, because that's the kind of stuff I do for fun.
Jeez.
So, and actually I still have ideas for how I'm going to improve it in the future. But for my kind of beta experiment here, the way I started was I just took a notebook and I actually was talking with a friend, and we just started writing down, what is it exactly that makes a good photographer? If you were going to explain to someone who are the best photographers in your town or in your city, and they said why after that, like when you explained who they were, what would you tell them? Like, what makes them the best? Because it's actually very
subjective.
Exactly. And so search engines are getting better at subjective, but they really want objective. They want something that is very definable. So if I'm writing an algorithm, I'm not going to be writing something with machine learning yet. Eventually, maybe I will. But I'm going to have to use objective qualifiers to say, why is someone the best photographer? So I wrote down my list, and actually, I think I have it on my screen. I had things like the fundamentals. What is their technical ability? What is the quality of their work? What's the consistency of their work? Do they have good people skills? What's their personality like? Do they get along with people? What kind of equipment do they have? What kind of connections do they have with other vendors? And what experience do they have? How long have they been in business? How many weddings have they done? You know, all of those things, which it doesn't sound like you can really put, you know, objective numbers on a lot of those things, but
right. I'm 7 on the scale of good with clients.
but you see, the thing is, there needs to be some sort of way to put a number on something like that. And so when you think about it, so you have a really, if you had to come up with an answer, like what would tell you if someone was good with their clients, you might think, how many good reviews do they have? Or how many people like their page on Facebook? How many comments does it have on Facebook? Hmm. Or, you know, things like that might give clues to whether or not they have a good personality. So that's exactly what Google is doing with their algorithm. I don't remember exactly where we were starting when I started telling that story, but those are the things that searching, that's what SEO is all about. Not just words. It's like you said, it's not a plugin or anything like that, but it's all of the things that a search engine can look at to decide whether you are the best result.
And just to be clear for the listeners, photographers aren't writing these algorithms. That's just Corey's way of just having some weird, crazy fun that he's into, is that he's writing something like this. But when it comes to photographers, I have got a lot of questions, and I figured who better qualified to answer those questions all about SEO than you. So I wrote a bunch of them down, and I'm going to ask, is that okay?
Sounds great.
Cool. Okay. So I understand that, you know, you started personally with wedding photography, or no, I guess you technically started with like website design and stuff, right?
Yep. I was doing SEO before I was doing wedding photography.
So you said that when your now wife was looking for an engagement photographer, you were like, what the hell is this? That doesn't make any sense. So what was it that made you get into photography?
It was really kind of a random thing. I actually, I emailed a photographer about potentially shooting for us and just mentioned in passing that I was interested in photography just in general. And she was in need of a second shooter like immediately and asked if I was interested in just coming along, like just to carry stuff and maybe shoot a little bit. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't really have much experience other than just playing around. And she was like, well, it's okay. Just, I need some help like in the next couple of weeks. Do you want to try it out? And I was like, sure. And like that never happens these days, but I was just lucky. And when I did, I was shooting in AV. I wasn't shooting full auto, but I had learned enough to like be pretty comfortable in AV and like knew the basics of my camera. And I had read my manual like two or three times. So that helped a lot. But anyway, I just really kind of enjoyed being at the weddings and I was getting pretty good results. And so I was like, well, I shot with her for a full year and a half and probably did 30 or 40 weddings with her or more even before I ever started doing them on my own. And I was like, well, let's just try this.
So what was the first thing that you did when you decided to go out on your own? Did you already make some connections through some people who you had already photographed, or did you just start a website and say, here we go?
I did start making connections by working with that other photographer, like, you know, working with vendors around town and things like that. But I think the most important thing I did right away was to take the website that I already had. I just used CoreyPotter.com at the time, and I already had that set up for like my website development. And I was like, well, I'll just turn this into my photography site. And so I just put some stuff up there, and I was like, I mean, it was very basic in the beginning. I mean, I did websites, so I knew enough to get a WordPress site up, and no one else was using WordPress, and that actually helped me a lot.
What were they using? Just Flash?
Yeah, a lot of Flash sites like Blue Domain and
all those
things. So yes, I did put up a site like right away and just kind of put on there like, hey, I'm Corey and I'm a photographer. And then I was like shooting stuff for friends, and you know, I was just out of high, I mean, like I was maybe my second year in college at this point. And like all of my high school friends were either they had a serious relationship or they were engaged. And I was just like doing stuff for them for free just to get portfolio work up there.
Genius, genius. And then you realize the power of your website. And then that's when you started building the SEO.
Right.
Okay. I got it. Okay. So are you ready to get into some of these listener questions?
I'm always ready.
Okay. That's well, the attitude
for SEO,
I love.
I mean.
Okay, so we're going to start with the first one, because that's always a great place to start, is with number one. So the first one is, if Google uses the words on your website to determine where to rank you, what can photographers do since our sites are mostly just photos?
The first thing you can do is add more text.
Good start.
I think that is... I feel like it's overstated because I say it all the time, but I think it's understated in general, especially for beginners, because there's like this trend towards minimalism with even looking at things like Instagram, and like people just are so concerned about the aesthetic, and they want like they don't want hashtags anywhere in their feed, like they have to hide them, and like they just don't want text anywhere because it's ugly. I'm doing a lot of air quotes today.
Yeah, right. Ugly.
Yeah. And so I think that is kind of a trend in the market, but I don't think it's necessarily a trend in general websites. I think most websites use a good bit of text and have big headlines. And if you just look at regular websites, you'll see a lot of text. And I think that you have to find a way to make your text look okay on your site, and it's important to have that. But like, to very specifically answer your question, I would say that one of the key things you can do is add alt text to your photos. And so since we're talking about beginners and you might not have any idea what alt text is, basically it's an accessibility feature for photos, so that if someone is using a screen reader because they are blind or have a disability, it will tell them what is in the photo when they come up to it. And so you're basically just describing your photo in words for people who can't see the pictures. And Google, because that's the purpose, and they know, hey, if this photo doesn't load, these words should be describing what's in it. They're going to look at that alt text and say, oh, here's the content. This is what we think is probably in this photo because that's how they described it. You know, they'll look at a lot of other clues to kind of verify that. But if your words actually back up what they already guessed the picture is probably going to be about, that can be really helpful. And you can get hundreds and hundreds of words if you have, you know, let's say you have a dozen pictures on your site and each one has, you know, 7-10 words, and you're starting to get up into the, you know, 100, 120, 150 words in just your alt text. And so that can count towards the text on your site.
So where does this alt text go? Is it a service or is it just a file name? How does that work?
Yeah, so it does depend on which platform you're using and how you're going to enter alt text. And some website platforms don't even allow you to put it in at all.
Meaning either Squarespace or WordPress?
Yeah, or okay. Whatever else you're on. There's, you know, maybe you're on Zenfolio or Wix or
those are all garbage. So we're just going to focus on WordPress or Squarespace.
That's debatable. Anyway, but most of them do make it more difficult. So, yes, if you're on Squarespace or WordPress. Now, Squarespace makes it a little bit confusing where alt text goes, but you can enter it on any photo. If you ever need to know, just go to Google and type in alt text on Squarespace, and they have a help guide that covers this, and it's the first result. And so click on that, and it'll show you like screenshots of where the alt text goes. But the thing about Squarespace that really frustrates me is they never call it alt text. They call it image title, they call it file name, they call it all these, and it's not actually even the file name. So I don't know why they call it that sometimes, but you can enter alt text on Squarespace. On WordPress, it's called alt text or alternative text, and
so nice and easy
put it
then.
In that box. Yeah.
Okay, so then I guess that kind of brings me into my next question. First of all, that was a great answer. I think that as photographers, a lot of times we're scared to write things because we're just not very good at writing. We're very visual, and photos are much easier. But now, if you're saying that we can write things like bride and groom at this place venue sunset. You know, you don't have to worry about what it is that you're writing. And that gives a pretty good description and can obviously help Google out.
Right.
Cool. Okay. So the end of your answer brings me into my next question here, which I already know your views on. And I'm pretty sure that the listener will as well. But is Squarespace or WordPress better for photographers?
Okay. So this is it is an age-old question, and it's a tricky answer too, because I don't think there is a really straightforward answer. I think one can be better for some people and one can be better for others. In general, I do prefer WordPress because, well, I've been using WordPress forever and I know that it is extremely flexible and allows you to do anything that you want to do. And it's kind of a standard on the internet. I mean, it's hard to go wrong because you can always extend WordPress. Also, you own it, so for some reason you have problems with your hosting, you just switch to a different host, and that's one really nice thing about WordPress. But there's downsides, because WordPress is a little bit more complicated. Be careful. I try to be careful when I say that, because it's not that complicated. In my opinion, it's just as easy to use as Squarespace once you...
Coming from the guy who builds algorithms just for fun, though.
Still, like here's the thing. A lot of people give WordPress a bad name when they should be giving a specific theme a bad name, because the themes are usually what makes it hard. And aren't a ton of really good themes out there. But if you get a couple of them out there that are really easy, and you start using that theme, it's just as easy. Like, it's, you can have visual builders and everything, and all that's usually done by the theme, not by WordPress itself. So anyways, Squarespace is going to make just done. You don't even have to think about it. You may have to do manually on WordPress. So there are some things like that. If your site is never going to like really grow very large, like if you're just going to have a 5 to 10 page site and you're going to blog like once a month or a couple times a month, even, then, I mean, Squarespace can work really well in search engines. I've seen it ranking on the first page for a lot of competitive terms, not as much as WordPress, but it does happen. And so it's not that it's terrible for SEO or anyway, I do believe that Squarespace is a legitimate option for a lot of people. I do think it's kind of tough to manage really large blogs. I've worked with some photographers who have over 1,000 blog posts, and I can't even imagine what that would be like in Squarespace. It would be a nightmare to manage that kind of content.
Yeah, it would be a nightmare. That's exactly what I was going to say. As a lot of users know, I use Squarespace, and I'm happy with it. But I think what you're trying to say right now is that if you are just a weekend warrior, maybe you don't want to leave your job, like you're happy with the benefits there, but you still want to shoot weddings on the weekend or families or what have you, Squarespace might be a good option for you. But if you really want to take off potentially one day, sell education courses, and just blog lots of ideas, then maybe WordPress is the best decision for you.
Yeah, WordPress started as a blogging platform, and it's really meant for bloggers. So if blogging is a big focus for your business, I would strongly recommend WordPress.
Hey, Raymond here, and we are going to get back to today's show in just a moment. You know, one comment that I hear often from new photographers is that they want to use their photography to give back by charging affordable prices. Now, I love the nobility of the Beginner Photography Podcast community for that. But quickly, I see those same photographers saying, you know, that they feel burnt out in photography just a few months later. How can you give back when you yourself are burnt out? You can't. Now, photography is not a necessity, and therefore, by definition, photography is a luxury. When you realize that and you start charging and bringing in more money consistently, well, imagine how much more of an impact you can make on your community. Let me show you the step-by-step roadmap, absolutely free. This is how I can help make an impact. You can head over to firstphotoclient.com and download my free guide that has everything that you need to start charging for your work and get your first photo client. Now, again, that is firstphotoclient.com. Start making an impact by this weekend. Now, let's get back to today's interview. Man, you're just touching on all these topics. That perfectly brings me into my next question.
Okay.
So the next question, I really wish that I should have wrote down these names. All these people are going to be like, that's my question. Why didn't you say my name? Okay, so the next question is, I know the blogs are important for SEO, but I suck at writing. Is there anything that I can do? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com, and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
So, first of all, you probably don't suck at writing as much as you think you do. I mean, maybe that you're one of those few people, and I see these people sometimes, and like they really actually suck at writing. Most people, though, they think they suck at writing because they don't enjoy it, but their writing is fine. And if that's you, which it probably is, then I would encourage you to just write anyways. One of the things that I told you earlier, like I feel like it's overstated because I talk about this all the time. But I believe strongly that words create connections with people. Photos can do that too. But I think that words have a really strong ability to persuade and to lead the mind in a specific direction. And something that you can do with a blog post. So I shoot weddings almost exclusively, so I think a lot about weddings. But if I were to write a blog post about a couple, and I share a story that I observed as a photographer on the wedding day. Often, I see things as a photographer that no one else at the wedding sees, or the couple themselves doesn't even really absorb what happened in the moment. Just a way that I've had this happen so many times. It might be the way that someone else was looking at them or the moment that they started crying. And I can connect the dots that like this person has an emotional connection to this moment because of some other relationship. And you can see those things happening on the wedding day. And sometimes you can get them in pictures. And if you just put that picture up of that person crying, like, okay, it's a person crying. Like they're obviously reacting to something. But if I could tell why, and I can make that connection that tells a story about the relationship that these two people have, it becomes so much more powerful. And so what I would say is that you're a photographer and you're telling stories, and stories are best told through words, in my opinion. So my advice for you is to work on writing stories and just start simple. Like, just take one photo and tell why that photo is important to you. Why pick your favorite photo from a wedding and say why it's your favorite photo. If you can just write a sentence or two, three sentences, whatever, start with that. And as you do that, you'll become better and better at writing words and writing blog posts and coming up with like comprehensive stories from a day or a shoot or whatever you're doing. I think that's important in blogging. I think that makes it much more shareable as well. Like, everyone's a photographer these days. Sorry. And like, I mean, it's not only that, but there's a lot of good photographers out there. And so everyone has seen really good wedding pictures. If it's just another post of pictures, everyone's seen that. That's nothing worth like really remarking on usually. But if you can tell a story, they might be like, okay, I got to share that. A really long answer. Sorry.
No. Basically, I was with you the whole time, but basically what I got was, get over it, right? If you suck at words or suck at writing, get over it. Just start small. You don't have to write essays. Just start with some tweets. Imagine that you're tweeting about a photo.
Yeah.
Okay. I just came up with that on my own. Okay. So kind of side question. This wasn't an official question, but is there some sort of frequency we should be keeping up with when it comes to blogging? Every day, once a week, once a month?
I would say that you should write as frequently as possible where you have useful content to write. Like, if you can post every day, post every day. If you can't, if every day is too much, like you're not actually adding anything valuable or anything that anybody would want to read, then don't post every day. I usually tell people to aim for once a week because I think it's manageable for most people. And it's also frequent enough that shows activity on your site. And I think that's a good target. I think once a week is a good target. If that's too much, go to once every other week. There's no hard rule, but I recommend once a week or more if you have more to say that people actually want to read.
Awesome. So the next question is, and I know the answer to this, I think that this is a very easy one, but I think people kind of get confused and they just kind of blend all of the internet together. So the next question is, can SEO help more people on Facebook see my photos? So just to preface real quick to a lot of the listeners out there, Facebook, if you had like a Facebook photography page back in the day, Facebook would show whatever you posted to all of your followers. Like, that's just how it worked. If somebody was following you, Facebook would show all of your content to them. Well, they understand that they are an advertising platform and they cut back on how many people they show your content to because they want you to pay to have more people see your content, which, I mean, makes sense. They're a business and it's essentially just free advertising, so it's about time that you start paying. But when it comes to, so that's a big question. A lot of people want to know how to get more of their posts or photos seen on Facebook. So would SEO help with that at all?
So to try to answer the question very directly, I would say that optimizing your website for something like Google, like the things we usually talk about when we talk about SEO, is probably not going to have any direct impact on the engagement or views on your Facebook page. Probably not. Now, I say direct because I do believe there could be some indirect impact. For example, you could have a link to your Facebook page on your site, and if you get more people coming to your website through search engines, and then one of your main calls to action is to go check out your Facebook page, then you're going to get more people viewing the content on your Facebook page. Also, one of the things that I used to do a lot when I was more active in wedding photography is to use Facebook and my blog in partnership. And so I would usually post like three or four photos on my Facebook page as like a sneak peek, and then maybe like 8 to 10 photos on a blog post. And I would say, hey, if you want to see more from this sneak peek, go over to the blog post, and the blog post may even send them back to the Facebook page. And so like that kind of partnership can increase engagement somewhat. But another kind of indirect answer to that question is that when we talk about SEO, talking about search engine optimization, one thing that I like to note is that typically we always talk about Google, but it's not just about Google, because Facebook is a search engine. YouTube is a search engine. Instagram is a search engine. Like, anytime you add hashtags to an Instagram photo, you are doing SEO. You are optimizing that Instagram post for a search engine, because Instagram is a search engine. SEO is not always just about Google.
Right. When you think SEO, you're thinking about optimizing, I think, like you said, about optimizing for Google, because to me, Google and search engine are just synonymous. But when you think of like Facebook as a search engine, it makes sense. And you can still, optimize your photos for its search engine, or just however people are using Facebook as a search engine. So figuring out how people are doing that, I could see how that could really help you. So, wow, I thought that the answer was going to be a straight up no, but you've definitely broadened my horizons. And I think I'm going to have to go back and edit a few of my photos to see if I can do something there to get more eyes on them. So, awesome answer. That was cool. Okay, so another one. So a lot of people have questions about, how do we know what phrases we should be ranking for?
Oh, man, that's a hard question.
Uh-oh. Zinger here.
Yeah, so, I'll try to keep this as short as possible. So the short answer is you're going to need to do some research, and you want to find the keywords that people are actually using. And so there are tools out there that will tell you. You used to be able to do this with like Google AdWord Planner, but they've stripped out almost all of the volume data, which means you can't figure out exactly how many people are searching for it anymore unless you're paying. And even then, they've stripped it out for people who aren't paying a certain amount. So you're probably not going to be able to get it with Google AdWords Keyword Planner anymore. But you can use something like Moz Open Site Explorer or kwfinder.com. And they have free versions that you can use for at least a few searches, and it will tell you exactly how many people, or at least an estimate on how many people are searching for that term every single month. So the first part is how many people are searching for it using that exact phrase. If it's no one, if you're trying to rank for parrot photography in Colombia, like, I'm just making up some random thing, like, no one is ever searching for that because no one has parrots around here, right? And,
you know, and that there's one parrot photographer in Colombia right now is, yes, just crying.
Probably.
This is why I'm not getting any work.
Yeah, so if no one is searching for it, then no one's ever going to come to your site, because it doesn't matter if you rank first for something random like that. So you want to find one that has a lot of search volume. The second thing, though, is how competitive is it? So the more competitive the keyword, the harder it's going to be for you to rank, because there's going to be other people out there targeting that keyword, and often they're going to be more authoritative, or they've been in business for longer. Now we're talking about beginner photographers, and if you're going out there and trying to rank for Charleston wedding photography or Indianapolis wedding photographers or something like that, you're going up against people who have been in business for 20 years. You're going up against people who have hundreds of blog posts, who have lots and lots of links to their site. And just by putting words on your site, it's not enough. You have to do a lot of other things. You have to gain some authority to be able to actually compete against that. So in that case, if you are going up against that, it might be smart to go after something that has low competition, even if the volume is lower. And so if it only gets 10 searches a month instead of 1,000, if it's like no competition, you may be able to dominate for that. And sometimes you can find some gems. I have found some stuff out there before, and I was like, what? I can't believe no one is optimizing for this. It can happen if you do the right research. Not very often, but for me, one of the things was wedding venues in Columbia, South Carolina. And, you know, it was not very competitive at all. No one was putting up anything good for that search term. And I just went ahead and wrote a decent article for it. And it started ranking on the first page in the first few results. And I get hundreds and hundreds of visits to my website every single month because of that post that I wrote.
That's crazy. And you found that through using a tool like Moz?
Right. Moz Keyword Explorer or kwfinder.com are the two that I recommend.
Okay. And I will have links to both of those in the show notes if anybody wants to go check them out. And you said that there's free and, I'm guessing, paid versions, obviously, as well?
Yeah. Moz gets really expensive if you're going to try to use that. It's like the cheapest plan is $99 a month. So you don't necessarily want to use that. But you can do, if you sign up for their free community account, you can get 5 searches a day, and each one of those will give you 1,000 suggestions. So,
oh, okay. So yeah, you can get, if you're just doing simple research when you're first starting out, that could really help.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Okay, next question. I think that was a really good answer. Well, this was going to be much harder. How long will it take me to get to the first page of Google?
Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
That's really not actually a hard question. I mean, it's an easy question because there's really no good answer.
I mean, yeah, you really just touched upon it a lot. I mean, if it has a lot of competition for the keyword that you're ranking for, it's going to take a long time. But if, yeah. Now this is just a guess here, if there's no competition, like you said, for venues around Columbia, South Carolina, you could get there very quickly.
Yep, I was actually just talking to someone in my Facebook group a couple of days ago who was like, I posted this blog post, and the next day I was on the first page of Google for the thing she was trying to optimize for, which was like family photographers in her city. And it was actually a fairly kind of general term, which I was kind of surprised for. She was on the first page in 24 hours because wow. No one was using that term. And it wasn't getting much search volume, but the fact is, like, if anyone searches for that, she has a really good chance of catching them.
Yeah.
And so, in general, let's just say, like, when people ask that question, I have to try to pretend like I'm Google and to try to understand their actual intent. Like, what are they really asking here? And what most people are really asking is, like, if I want to be on the first page for something like Indianapolis wedding photographers, how long is that going to take? And if I were just to have to give you an answer, if you're just starting out, you can expect it to take 1 to 2 years. Just throwing out a number. But if you are like really hardcore and you go out there and the number one thing you could probably do, well, let me give you two number one things.
So two.
Not one and two. It's two number ones.
Okay. Well,
the first thing you would do is to have an address in the city that you're trying to rank for. Closer to the city center, the better. And I know that's not always possible for everyone, but if it is, that would have a huge impact. And I have seen people go from brand new website to first page in a competitive market just by having a solid address. Now, when I say that, I do not mean to just go out there and like borrow your grandmother's address and like try to trick Google. It needs to be something that can represent your business. But it could be something like I'm in right now in my shared co-working space. And it's not, I mean, they have options at $75 a month, and I could still potentially use that address for my business. So it could be worth that much money just to get an address, depending on your situation. The other number one thing is to get featured in as many publications as you can. So especially high authority publications. That's really hard for a beginner photographer. If you can do it, though, and I've seen people who come right out of the gates, you know, they've been in photography for less than 3 years, and they get featured on Style Me Pretty and Southern Weddings and, you know, Rock and Roll Bride and like all these big name photographers, or Huffington Post Weddings. Like, that's actually a pretty easy one to get and very high authority. I've seen people get those in their first year of being a photographer. If you are one of those photographers and you can go after that, you have a good chance of showing up on the first page in that first year. But those are the things I always tell people, like, do the hard stuff, because the hard stuff is what other people are not going to do. And if you do the hard things, then you're more likely to get there faster. If you're just going to kind of take the average route, or another number one thing, if you blogged every single
three
day,
number ones. All right. Right on.
If you're like, you know, Caitlin James or Jasmine Starr or or Melissa Jill or somebody like that who blogged every single day and had really, I mean, like long content every single day, you could probably start ranking a lot faster. So there's things you can do. But in general, it takes 9 to 18 months for people to start coming up.
So if, let's say in my case, I live about 45 minutes to almost an hour away from Indianapolis. Obviously, the town that I live in does not have a huge population, so that's why I try to rank for Indianapolis wedding photographer. My address is nowhere near Indianapolis. What if I were to get a P.O. box? Would that work? Or no, because Google already knows that that's a post office.
Yeah, they won't allow that. Now, sometimes you can trick them. You probably wouldn't be able to do this in Indianapolis, but in some small cities, you could like use the address of the post office and then like suite number, whatever your PO box is. And sometimes they'll actually verify that at first. But as if it's in their register of post offices, or if anyone reports it, they'll take it off because it's not allowed in their terms of service. I do not recommend using post office, UPS store, any other box service like that. It's against their terms. It needs to be a place that actually represents your business.
What about an abandoned building?
If you have meetings at that abandoned building and have like a sign and some business cards in that abandoned building, and you can get mail at that abandoned building, maybe.
Fair enough. All right, right on. I'm going to start looking for some abandoned buildings tomorrow. I'm going to go downtown.
So yeah. I would think about something like, you know, partnering with another wedding vendor. Like maybe there's a wedding planner who has a nice little storefront and they would be happy for you to like give them some big canvases of weddings that you did with them, of their work, and they will let you meet clients in their space and maybe even verify your address there. I've seen people around here do that and it worked well for them. Or something like even a coffee shop. Say, I promise I will be having at least 10 meetings here every single month, and when I do, I will buy coffee for every one of my clients and myself. So I'm going to be bringing you hundreds of dollars in business every month if you will let me send a postcard here from Google and leave some business cards. Because remember, it needs to represent your business. So if someone walked into that coffee shop and said, I'm looking for Corey Potter photographer, they'd be, oh, yeah, he's not in right now, but he does meet people here. So, you know, if you have that kind of relationship, and that's not unrealistic. If you find small, like, you know, independently owned. Now, Starbucks is not going to do that. Don't go to Starbucks and ask. But if it's a small place or a restaurant, like, they may do that.
Those are great tips. I never would have thought about that. I'm going to have to reach out to a few planners tomorrow. I think that's a much better idea than just finding a random abandoned building to represent myself. So I think that's a great idea. Okay, now here's another question that I thought that I was the only one, but apparently I'm not. Another listener gets these as well. And they said, how reputable are the companies who call and say that they can get me to the first page of Google fast? So for a lot of beginners out there, if your website is on Google at all, somehow like they find you, these companies, and usually they're, you know, either they're overseas companies, usually like India or China or something like that, and they will call you and say, hey, like they'll try to trick you, like, hey, your unverified Google listing is ranking on the last page of Google, which, you know, whatever, and we can get you to the front page of Google fast, but it's like $1,500 a month. So first off, is that is that the price that I'd be expected to pay? And second of all, is that even a thing? Can they get me to the front page fast?
Usually not. And I can't speak for every single one. It's possible that there could be someone out there who's cold calling or cold emailing that could be legitimate. The ones that are like overseas companies that are calling you all the time, just ignore them.
Okay, good. I should just learn to block those numbers in my phone. I always answer so excited, like maybe it's a bride. Oh, no, it's not. So then I guess that brings me to one of my last questions is, you know, say we have a full-time job and we don't even want to know anything about SEO. We just really want to shoot weddings and we would like to get to the front page or close. Is there anybody who we could just pay to, I don't know, do this for us or help us do this for us?
Yes, there are companies out there who you can definitely hire. My thing about paying someone to do SEO is that it often kind of takes the photographer out of the important process behind ranking. So if you are going to really rank well, you need to become an authority in your space, in your industry. And often becoming an authority has to do with connecting with people. It has to do with making friends with venues and vendors and bloggers and all these kinds of things. And you need to get out there and make connections. And if you're not doing that yourself and you're trying to hire someone to do those things for you, often it just doesn't work the same way. That being said, there are plenty of things that you can hire someone to do one time that will make a big difference in the beginning. So setting up your website, like hiring someone to do a website for you and do it the right way, and just getting the structure right, getting the right pages on your site, getting the technical things, like making sure that there's schema markup and making sure that there's, and that can or it may or may not be important on your site, depends, you know, getting just a lot of usability things that could be very technical. I think you could definitely find help in hiring someone. So another thing is like writing titles and meta descriptions. I've done this for dozens of photographers, and I know exactly what needs to go in a title and meta description to fit within the specific length and, you know, what Google's looking for and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of conditions. And so it might be much easier for you just to pay me to do it than to try to figure out how to do it on your own. So I think it can be legit, but I think at the same time, there are a lot of things that you need to continue doing over time, like blogging, like link building. When I say link building, getting featured and things like that. So if you're not going to be actively participating in optimizing your site, often it's just going to be like an abandoned building. You know, you could have a brand new building. Everyone moves out. You turn off the electricity and no one touches it for 10 years. You go back in and it's falling apart. And it's like, you know, those little things that you do here and there make a big difference in keeping it maintained. And if you don't know how to do that, you're going to end up paying a lot of money. Like, to get someone who does that consistently for you, you're going to be paying hundreds of dollars a month probably. And I just don't know if the payoff is there in most cases. If you're a beginner photographer, most likely not. But still, I think it could be worth paying someone to do a one-time kind of startup package for you potentially.
Okay, so if it doesn't make sense to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars per month to have somebody do some sort of SEO setup for you, and somebody wanted to learn more about SEO themselves, how to set up their website, and especially for photographers, I know that we didn't get into a lot of the technicals today, but eventually somebody's going to have to get into that. Where would you recommend that people go to learn more about SEO?
Okay, so actually, I used to have like all this list of places you could go and all these resources, and I would like tell people, go to Moz and go to this place. And what I did was just write a comprehensive guide to like all of the where you should start with SEO. And that's on fuelyourphotos.com/SEO. You can just find my top recommendations. But I also talk about like a lot of the key things in that guide that you need to do if you actually just read the guide. But if you need more, then there's resources in each section that will take you to like the kind of industry standard for how to learn about each of those topics. And then, of course, I have my Facebook group, which like we actively talk about SEO pretty much every single day.
Like marketing as well. Like, I'm part of the group. You guys talk a lot about marketing, and there's a ton
websites,
of great ideas just to how to get more clients and how to have a better usability, I guess, of your website. And that is huge as well. There's sure. So much great information in both your Facebook group and on fuelyourphotos.com. And I highly recommend that everybody go check it out. Because of that, I'm going to have links to all of that in the show notes of this episode today, which will be over beginnerphotographypodcast.com. And then just scroll to the bottom, check out the show notes. But again, it's just fuelyourphotos.com. And then I'm sure that you have links from there to the Facebook group as well.
I do.
Okay, cool. Well, aside from that, is there anywhere else online where our listeners can find you that would help you out or anything like that?
I did just launch my membership, and so that is kind of like a hybrid between the I want to learn it and I want to hire someone, where it's more of like, here, I'm going to give you really in-depth, step-by-step And I even can potentially do audits to get you started on all that. And we have a forum, and we have, you know, just a lot of in-depth conversations. Again, you can find that information on the main Fuel Your Photos website, and I talk about it in the group sometimes. So, you know, that could be potentially helpful for a lot of people. I'm really liking it so far. And I think that's kind of a great way to get help from someone who really understands SEO, where we can actually like log in and look at your problems, and I can record it and give it back to you and not have to necessarily lay out tons of money all at one time. So that
could be helpful. Yeah, I'm just going to give you a quick plug right there. Corey actually did a full audit of my website, my own personal photography website. And I was blown away by all of the information that you gave. There were so many things that I wasn't even thinking of. There were just simple tweaks that I could make to my website that already make it easier to use and hopefully easier for Google to figure out who I am and what I do and boost me up the page. So I will forever be grateful for that, and thank you. But Corey, this was a great episode. You answered all of my questions and more. You went way in depth, and it was great. I think that the listeners are going to get a ton out of this episode. And I look forward to having you back on in the future, because I know that there's going to be a ton more questions coming in from them. So Corey,
yeah, maybe one day we could do an episode about how to switch from Squarespace to WordPress.
You know what? We just might have to do that one day. I will keep that in mind. Yeah, maybe someday. So Corey, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, man. I hope that before that interview, you purchased stock in Bic, the pen company, because I'm sure that you just went through a million pens writing down as much information as you could from everything that Corey talked about. This episode was one of my favorites because it is so jam-packed, full of information on, you know, not only something that a lot of photographers think is just so mysterious, right? Like, what is SEO? What does that even mean? Nobody even knows. A lot of the people at Google don't even know. It's not some sort of magic pill. It is just how you prepare the content that you have created to increase the likelihood of your content to be shared or liked more. And we all know that if something's shared more, you're going to get more exposure. If you get more exposure and gets in front of the right person, they might hire you for whatever it is that you're looking for, or for whatever it is that you provide, whatever it is that they are looking for. And that is the key there. So let me know your biggest takeaway from this episode. What is it? And again, I know that a lot of you out there have been asking questions about SEO. So there better be a lot of response to this episode. Head over to our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/beginner photography podcast. You're going to see the link to this episode. And I want you to leave a comment for Corey and let him know what it was that was your biggest takeaway and what you're going to implement into your website right now. And if you have any questions, go to facebook.com/fuelyourphotos and join his Facebook group. Because like he said, you know, SEO isn't just something that you just pay somebody and then it's done. Like, it really is going to require a time investment. Sure, you can have people help you set things up and get you going, point you in the right direction, but a lot of it has to be done yourself. And when you come up with questions, which I know that you will, I still come up with questions. Hell, I thought that I was like really good at SEO until I started talking to Corey, and man, I'm embarrassed about my SEO now, which is horrible. It goes so much deeper. So when you have those questions, having a place where you can ask them without feeling like you're asking a dumb question, or that you're going to be judged, or that you're surrounded by people more successful than you, or, you know, whatever your common objections are, that's not going to be the case in the Fuel Your Photos group. It is such a helpful community, and I highly recommend that right now you stop whatever you're doing. If you're driving on the freeway, don't slam on the brakes. That is terrible advice. Why would I even say that? Pull over on the side of the road right now and head over to the Fuel Your Photos Facebook group. Just search for it and join right away. Oh, man. That's it. Corey, if you're listening right now, Buddy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to know how much you have helped so many beginners start to build their websites, which is the platform of which, you know, we connect with our clients. So that is so huge. So once again, Corey, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, like I said, head over to Facebook and leave Corey a message, leave him a comment. Just let him know how much you really, really appreciated this episode. He's a very busy guy with 3 kids at home, and for him to take the time out of his day to come on and talk to you speaks volume about, you know, it's just the kind of guy that Corey is, and, you know, he always wants to help. So just give him a simple thank you. Aside from that, I think that is all that we got today. If you are keeping up with the Instagram daily photo a day challenge, I embarrassingly have been slacking, and I apologize, but I'm not out. I'm not out. I'm going to keep going. Tomorrow's a new day. See, the problem was, no, I'm not going to make up any excuses. I haven't been keeping up. It's a new day. I'm getting on it. We're doing this. Or I guess if you're listening to this on Monday morning, today's a new day, man. Get out there. Start doing this. If you're listening to this on Monday, the day that this podcast comes out, today's photo a day is pocket. Pocket. Yes, pocket. Maybe it could be a photo of your pocket. Maybe it could be what's inside of your pocket. Maybe it could be a pita pocket. Maybe it could be a hot pocket. Think outside the box and try to get something really interesting. If you're listening to it on Tuesday, the 24th, the subject is hate. What's something that you hate? What's something that aggravates you? What's something that everybody else hates that maybe you love? Again, think of these things. Think outside the box. I highly encourage you to do so. When you do so, your brain is going to start firing off new synapses and just different ways of thinking about how to take a photo. And that's really going to grow exponentially when it comes to starting to shoot weddings, starting to shoot more families. You're going to be in situations where you're uncomfortable, and being able to come up with something in an instant is going to be instrumental to your success. So guys, I'm serious. Check it out. Upload your photos. Use the hashtag MyBPP so that I can check them out. Like, comment, enjoy them as well. That's it for this episode. I'm not going to take up much of your time. I know that this was a long one. I know that you're going to have to go back and listen to it to pick up all of those tips. That's it, guys. You guys have a great week, and I will talk to you. I will see you. I will have a new episode for you. I can't wait to talk to you guys again next week. Get out there. Start shooting.
Listening to today's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Be sure to join the conversations on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want any links or resources we talked about in today's episode, check out the show notes.